This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Time again for our weekly catch-up with RNIB Chief Executive Matt Stringer here on RNIB Connect Radio to talk about what's been happening around the organisation and, of course, news and topics relating to life as a blind or partially sighted person. Hello, Matt, and thank you for joining me this week.
Hello, Toby. My pleasure as ever. Thanks for having me.
I think we've probably got a bit of an access theme this week, and we're going to start with the handing in on Wednesday this week of a letter to number 10 Downing Street, calling on the Prime Minister to, I think, make voting accessible, independent and in secret for us all as blind and partially sighted people.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, we talked about this often on my time on Connect Radio over many years, and it's something that we, you know, have been really persevering with some real commitment and grit. Actually, over many years, I've had lots of meetings with ministers of civil servants, and the team been working hard, you know, with government, with the devolved nations, with the electoral commission, just to keep pushing and pushing and pushing to try and make, you know, the voting process for blind and partially sighted people exactly the same as for sighted people, you know, so to be able to do it in secret and sort of confidentially and individually. We did a really good video pre the general election, which got over 500,000 views, to show the challenges of for blind and partially sighted people are going into sort of the voting booth and fundamentally finding it potentially very difficult to be able to vote in secret and independently, you know, and highlighting actually, you know, if you're a sighted person, it would be the same as having a camera over your shoulder or someone over your shoulder or someone interfering with your individual process. I think that really brought it to life for many, and we were delighted with so much traction. We have made progress here over the last few years. Every time we've had a big election, we've produced another version of our turned out report, which we're just compiling the latest version of that after the general election, to really just bring up to date everyone's experiences. And we are seeing the Electoral Commission, the devolved nations, the government, and locally the infrastructure around polling stations, returns officers, the sort of electoral teams on the ground, you know, at polling stations up and down the country are starting to make it better, but it's still not uniform. It's not perfect. So, you know, we've had a petition going, which has been signed by, you know, a number of interesting sort of celebrity people who were affected by this. People like Michael Owen, his son, I think, voted for the first time this time, Amal Latif. And yesterday, on Wednesday this week, Anna Tyler, our chair, and one of our volunteers, Paul Goddard, who came up, I think, from Sussex, presented at number 10 a petition calling for continued improvement in the process around accessible voting. And look, it's only a petition handed into number 10. They get a number of these, I am sure, as we know, but it just keeps the pot boiling, keeps it front of mind. We will keep pushing through the turned out report and with those connections we've got into ministers and civil servants just to keep pushing on this issue, when we will be chipping away and making every time there is an election in the country, and every year there's something, you know, local government elections, council elections, police and crime commissioners, regional mayors, you know, there's always an election just around the corner. We need to make, you know, continue to make these as accessible as possible as we go forwards. So, yeah, good to have the petition in, and it just is, and that's the next step in our continued focus on accessible voting.
And moving from accessible voting now to accessible banking. Matt, I think you were at a dinner at the Bank of England this week and talking to people within the financial services about accessibility for blind and partially sighted people.
Yeah, the dinner was about a month ago, Toby, and so we've been following up since then with a variety of people. We had about 30 plus, you know, members of the sort of financial services sector there, from the banks and the regulators and other related industries like insurance, card providers, etc. You know, really banging the drum around the importance of making financial services accessible for blind and partially sighted people. We have one of our volunteers again, Perm Bachu, who spoke very eloquently about her own experience in the West Midlands of being a visually impaired person and the challenges she had in managing and accessing money, which I think went down incredibly well and very powerfully with the room. So what we've been doing since then is sort of following up to make sure we're trying to round the point home and optimise the connections that we made or continue to make through that evening. And so a couple of meetings coming up that people might be interested to know, you know, what goes on at the RNIB. So I'm meeting the CEO of Capital One Bank on Monday to talk through how we can work with them on making not only their processes and sort of business as accessible as possible. And they have about 3 million customers, but also, you know, using hopefully Capital One as a sort of tangible way into the rest of the sector potentially. So we'll have that conversation on on Monday, and we've also got a session coming up where we're using Grimaldi, which has been a great platform to sort of host people. So our office space in London, we're hosting some senior people from the Phoenix Insurance Group, including Sir Nicholas Lyons, in about the second week of September, to have a similar conversation with them. And again, that's sort of the insurance sector versus the banking sector. But so you can see we're trying to touch quite a lot of the financial services sector and around. So, you know, these high profile events like the Bank of England dinner, you know, they're nice to do in themselves, but the trick is to, you know, follow up, which we are doing with some alacrity. So those two sessions I've mentioned, I think, just give the listeners a chance to see how we actually follow up and how we're trying to exert influence as the RNIB on what is a really, really important sector.
And finally, to accessible technology, as I think you had a visit to Dolphin Access in Worcester this week, Matt.
Yeah, I did. They're good friends of ours, Dolphin Computer Access, run by a really good guy called Noel Duffy. He's steeped in commitment to accessible tech and worked with Anna, you know, decade ago plus on things like Bookshare and some of the agreements around that. His company make a lot of accessible tech for blind and partially sighted people, both in the UK. They extend internationally. They've got a good line of business in Germany, he was telling me yesterday. And they're very keen on sort of education and employment, you know, trying to equip school kids with accessible technology to enhance their time. Because we know, you know, as we are working together on, you know, the attainment gap educationally between visually impaired pupils and sighted pupils is too wide, with about 30% of lower achievement for visually impaired pupils. So we've had a good relationship with them as an organisation for some time. It's a long overdue me to visit, actually. But I think, you know, the benefit of going is having a bit of time to sit there, look at their applications, look at their software, see how it, you know, works, and really talk to them about how we could work with them on really trying to drive opportunities to spread software generically, but also, you know, their products, you know, into places where we can, you know, support our strategy of making the UK a much better country for blind and partially sighted people. So employment and education probably being the two obvious places to sort of start or to continue our work, but really try and drive it hard. So it was good to go with Robin Spinks, one of our sort of visually impaired sort of tech colleagues yesterday, and have sort of 3 hours with their senior team sort of discussing the opportunities. And we'll have a follow-up meeting with a broader team to really dive into the detail and firm up a bit of a plan with them to try and drive this hard. So it was good to visit Worcester yesterday.
Well, you will find a wide range of information and advice on living with sight loss, including access to technology, on the RNIB website, which is rnib.org.uk. You can always, of course, call the RNIB helpline on 0303 123 9999, or use your Amazon smart device to call the RNIB helpline too. Well, Matt, thank you so much indeed for chatting with me this week here on RNIB Connect Radio.
No, my pleasure, Toby. Good range of subjects, and we'll certainly come back and talk to you about how we've done in these sort of follow-up meetings in the financial services sector, because I think they're really quite important. So good to be able to highlight those today.